The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. And a welcome, 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 everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today on Adventures in Recovery. Your host, Tom Walston, here on another beautiful, beautiful day on Vashon Island, the healing vortex of the Pacific Northwest. Hey, I just want to make you aware of an announcement. I want to tell you about tomorrow afternoon, Island Kids Summer Movie Fest continues. That's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday, July 8th. The movie that all kids and adults probably love is Paddington, you know, the bear. And that's going to be at the Vashon Theater. But keep in mind, the movie starts at 3 p.m. So the doors are going to open at 2:30, and you get free movie, free fidgets, and a free Mighty Mouse. So be sure you all take advantage of that. Special guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We are going all the way down to, believe it or not, we've gone international. We're going to be talking to my dear friend, Sean Marklin Everett. How many other names do you have, Sean? I'm not really sure, but go ahead, and glad to have you on the show today.
Oh, Tom, it's so great to be here. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was just a blessing for us to be able to go international, have you live with us, and to go back to a little bit of history here. Sean and I go way back. We've got a lot of similarities in our life. Sean is another friend in recovery. I'm sure you probably are going to be okay with me mentioning that. Sean and I both have lived in Los Angeles around the same time. We both been in the entertainment field. And Sean, why don't you take it from there?
Well, I just want to say thank you, Tom. I told you a while ago about how grateful I was to have you talking about recovery in a manner that was sort of like the speaker tapes that I used to get when I would go to conventions, that you having this platform here to bring recovery to people around the world, I think is just such an extraordinary thing. And I'm so glad it's your voice of reason that is here on the other side of the microphone. It's true. We did go to Los Angeles. Los Angeles is where I got sober. And I'll just briefly mention that story. I was working in the movie industry, as mm-hmm. you kind of mentioned. I think Tom probably wouldn't have seen me. Tom worked for a period of time at Universal. And when I worked on the Universal lot in the film crew, not as an actor, but sometimes as an actor, but in the film crew, when the tour bus would go by, we would find something to cover our faces because it always produced the most amount of flashes from the tour bus. We weren't anybody famous at all, but they thought they were seeing somebody famous. So they would start flashing the cameras. Oh, that made me happy.
Oh, that brings back so many memories. In fact, when I would be giving a tour and I would see somebody like you hiding their face, I would go, "Ladies and gentlemen, look over there. You know who that is." And even the celebrities, 9 times out of 10, I didn't know who the hell they are, but I would let the tourists guess, and we would just pick the most popular one.
Oh, there's nothing better than running a tour and making stuff up. I actually worked at the Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle, too, and I gave the historical tour. I had no idea what I was talking about, so it was great fun. At the time that I got sober, what happened was I had, on that very morning that I got sober, I had already gotten up early and let the dog out to walk itself because I couldn't be bothered. And I smoked some marijuana and was just kind of laying around. And my roommate had gone off to work early because, you know, in the movie industry, you start very early mm-hmm. in the morning, 5, 5:30, 6, something like that. And she called me up, sort of panicked, and she said, turn on the TV. And I said, what channel? She said, it doesn't matter. And I turned on the TV just in time to see people who had the choice of either succumbing to flames or jumping to their death. It was September 11th in 2001. And I watched that unfolding in the morning, and it affected me tremendously deeply. It was just such a slap in the face, because I thought to myself, these are people who, like me, got up in the morning and look at the choice that they have to make now. And
Exactly.
my choice was to get up, not walk the dog, smoke a joint, and be a bag of skin lying around for the rest of the day. I wasn't on a project at that time. And I thought, this is not, when I was a kid, what I thought I wanted to do. You think to yourself, oh, I'm going to be a fireman or a forester or something like that. And I thought, I am not fulfilling what I wanted to be for myself. And so it's sort of a interesting and terrible and a grateful time in history for me to refer to as my sobriety day, September 11th, 2001.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was, and oddly enough, I had given myself a birthday gift in June of that year. I had been watching the Today Show or something, and I think it was Matt Lauer who said, if you want to give up smoking, give it to yourself as a gift. And if you're anything like me, you don't want to take gifts back. So I gave
That's
myself
good.
the gift of not smoking on my birthday, and there is no way I am taking a gift back. No
I
way.
love it.
So on that year, I also stopped smoking. And 2 years prior to that, just so you know, I am a modern alcoholic. Alcohol isn't the only aspect of my story, although I do consider myself an alcoholic through and through. I started Al-Anon 2 years before that. I did it backwards. And most people get into AA and then get into Al-Anon, and somehow I managed to do the. Well, here's why. Because in. I don't know if I think it's in all the programs, but they say put down the microscope and pick up the mirror. And in Al-Anon, you examine other people's lives so much, and I think that that was the first thing that I could sort of cop to, that I was sort of involved in other people's lives more than I should be. And once I picked up the mirror, it was not long before I entered the rooms of AA. So, well, actually, I entered the rooms of NA, but I have no neck tattoos, so I really realized that it was not worth I was better suited to AA. No, I have great friends in all of the programs. NAAA, CA, CMA in Los Angeles is a huge deal. It was started by an AA member there in Los Angeles. Actually, NA was started in Burbank in the Valley by, oh gosh, I can't remember his name now. But he
Jimmy,
was
Jimmy K.
Jimmy K. Thank you so much. Yeah, Jimmy lived in Burbank, not far from where I got, where, on September 11th, I managed to find sobriety too. It was right there in Burbank off of Vineland. So that's where Jimmy K's lived and his first meetings were. It was pretty cool.
That's
Well,
great
geez,
history.
I've
That's really
yeah.
great history. When you were talking about putting the mirror down, that's about when I was picking up the mirror because we were shooting Scarface at Universal. And oh my goodness, the snow was flying all over the place. Now, this is in the early 80s, and that's one of the reasons I eventually left Los Angeles because I was killing myself basically with alcohol and cocaine. So anyway, back to your story.
You know what? I am going to pick it. I'm glad that you speak every now and then, Tom, and give me an opportunity to hear something other than myself. I was working on a movie called House 2 in the Culver Studios in Culver City, and we were having a. It was right around the time of Belushi, so it was there was a lot of snow falling, and that was a big wake-up call for me. I actually stopped cocaine, but of course, I picked up everything else in order. It's not like I wasn't the kind of guy that could say, I'm not going to do cocaine ever again. Let's have some meth. It's just like, I was one of those guys. I just, there had to be something in me. So yeah, that was, and we were doing cocaine off of the sound guy's machine.
Oh, of
You know, they
course you
have
were. The
has a
mixer.
Lucite cover. So we were, and I had a very similar realization that most of the money I was making in the movie industry, I was either putting into a vein or my nose, or I was taking a vacation to leave LA. And I thought, what am I doing here if everything I do is to transport me out of here? And so I left LA. I left the movie industry first because that was extraordinarily stressful. Extraordinarily stressful.
And a lot of use.
Yes. Because there's a lot of people who aren't told, you know what, that's not cool. Shut up and sit down. You know, one of the first things that, you know, they tell you when you enter a meeting is, you know, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. So,
I haven't heard that before.
yep. And so I did. I just, you know, I shut up and I listened for the first several years. And thank God I did. I don't have relapse as part of my story, and I have no judgment against those who do. I waited till I was 39 to get sober. And now this is, you know, year 24 in October or September 11th, it'll be 25 years.
Way to
But
go.
yeah, right? I have never done anything this for this length of time, with the exception of blink and breathe. There is nothing that I have managed to put together. You know, I remember that, and I come from a family of that too. You know, like I remember because Dad was a major alcoholic, and we were going to go and have I convinced Mom and Dad, hey, let's go and have a bowling night every Tuesday, I think it was. And I lived in North Tacoma, and that's where I grew up. And there in Proctor, there was a bowling
Oh,
lane.
still is.
Yeah, it still is there.
Yeah.
And I said, let's go every Tuesday and we'll have a family bowling night. And that lasted all of 2 weeks. I'm not from a family that manages to do anything for any length of time. I just, for years, I thought I'm just not a guy who can do things on a regular basis. You know, and so I have been a terrible friend. I have been a so, you know, not no longer as much, thank goodness. And you know, when you talk to me about being on here, one of the things that came to mind was God shots, because I have just, by the way, Tom, this is something that you may know about, but my condo closed today in Florida, so I have been in.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. What a God shot that was. It took a very short amount of time, even though the real estate market there is in the tank. But it will take me out of debt. I got into terrible debt. So, I mean, if you think that sobriety is something that's going to make your life like, you know, you're going to grow wings and you know, hover off the air, trust me. Especially the longer you do it, life is just life.
Life still happens.
It has nothing to do with how sober I am. It's like the first time you get pulled over by a cop and you look at him and go, ha ha, I wasn't speeding. And look, I haven't had a drug or alcohol for X amount of time. And they're like, well, good for you. Shut
Exactly.
up. So what? The rest of the world is continuing and
Good
you're
for
just.
you. Sign this ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Please appear before blah blah blah. But when I first got sober, I was having so many God shots, and one of the things that I had a sponsor at the time who said, I said, you know, I don't think I have a very good connection to a higher power, and he said, well, let's give this a test. Give me an animal, one that you don't necessarily see every day. You know, he said it could be a zebra or a wombat or something. And I said, okay, you know, I lived in LA at the time. I was like, how about a butterfly? I don't really see them. You know, the only time you see wildlife in LA is when it's, you know, dead or you know, having expired somewhere.
Or at the zoo.
Oh, right. And I said, a butterfly. And he said, all right, well, then here's what I want you to look at. Every time that you see a butterfly, I want you to think, this is my higher power reaching out to me and giving me a reminder that I still am in the universe. I'm still part of your, oh, there we go. Fireworks. I still am a part of your life. And so I was like, yeah, I'm not going to see a butterfly. Who knows? It'll be 2 months before I see a butterfly. And literally, like the next day, I was walking out and a butterfly went by, and I thought, well, now what? Do I say this is coincidence, or do I say this is my higher power reaching out to me? You know?
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, this just comes down to a question of belief, a question of me. Do I believe in this, or do I push it aside like I have everything else in my life, like the idea of bowling every Tuesday, you know? So I made the choice then and there, after seeing that butterfly, that hey, this is something that I'm going to look at. And then it became a question of, like, I would be sitting on a bus bench in Los Angeles waiting for the bus, and I would see like a bus go by, and it had on the side of it an advertisement for butter. And I thought, well, now what? You know,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
is this part of it or not? And then I remembered, hey, it comes down to a question of belief. So right after I got sober, I had to leave the house that I was in. And I was living at the far end of the valley, the end of right out by Burbank Airport, and off San Fernando and Sunland, more or less. Sunland is the name of the community for those who are listening. And I had to move. And I had a Sunday morning meeting in Hollywood. And so I got in my big car and I drove there. And I said, you know what? I have moved several times, and one of the things I have never really had are boxes. And you know, people who move with boxes sometimes get these huge boxes. And like, I had moved enough that I realized large boxes I can't carry, even if they're filled up with, you know, whatever.
Cotton.
They're just impossible to carry. So I thought, you know what would be great? If I could get like 20 or 30 boxes that are just, you know, like the size of my chest, you know, just like a book box, something that's really medium or small sized. Excuse me. And so I shared about it at the meeting, and somebody said, well, why don't you pray about it? And I said, pray about moving boxes. I think God has something, you know, greater to do today. It's like, you know, when you see a cop and you're like, why are you pulling me over? There's people out there robbing banks. But God apparently has no, he's not in the importance end of things. So on the way home, I was driving, and on the other side of the freeway on the 101, there's that dip right by Universal. And I looked across the freeway and I saw that there was a huge pile of boxes
Oh
that
my
had
God.
fallen out of a truck. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be funny if those were for me? And then I got like two exits up and I thought, well, maybe they are for me. So it comes down to a question of belief again. So I got off the freeway and I got back on the freeway going the other direction. And when I pulled up, one of those trucks from the California Department of Transportation was there. And there was a bunch of guys who were just about to get rid of the boxes, throw them into that great big truck as trash. And I pulled up and the guy said, hey. And I said, hey. And I said, are those boxes available? And he said, oh, yeah, it would be great. So not only were the boxes for me, he sent somebody to load them into my trunk for me. And they were the perfect size. I was like, what is this? So I thought, this is God shot. This is one of those things that I can start to believe now.
Well, you know, I think that is so such a great example of what happens once a person decides to really let the universe know what your intention is. Your
Absolutely.
intention was to make some moves in your life for the better, and it manifested in itself. And that's what I tell people prior to or in early recovery, when all those question marks are overwhelming. It's like, you know what? Set your intention and wait for the magic.
That's exactly right.
Because it happens.
It really does. And you don't have to do anything for it except believe, because, you know, you can certainly deny. And that had never gotten me anywhere in all of my, you know, previous 38 years of life. But forgive me, I have a cold. And it's hot here, so it makes a cold even worse. And I have to say that my life has taken so many wonderful turns, and a lot of them were not what I thought they would be in terms of being wonderful, leaving the movie industry. I went from making six figures a year to making, you know, a good two.
Well, yes, but the two was good.
Yeah, you know, it was without stress. It was, you know, I had people around me who loved me, and what a great thing the rooms can be in terms of fellowship, in terms of picking up the mantle, you know, getting rid of all the people that used to, you think, well, wait a minute, are they friends or are they acquaintances? What are they? You know, and a lot of those people that led me down the wrong path, I don't miss them.
Well, here's the deal. Nobody was calling me wondering why I wasn't sitting on my bar stool from the bar. You know, I'm serious. The thing about recovering, one of the biggest gifts is it opens you up to a whole new community that genuinely cares about you. And for once, you can care about other people instead of just being wrapped up and obsessed with how am I going to get my next fix or drink or opportunity to be inappropriate and do things that I won't remember the next day. You have people that help holding yourself accountable, and you can reach out and care for other people, and your circle keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Look how I met you. It's coincidentally sitting at the tables.
Yep, indeed, indeed. And, you know, meeting you, moving back up to the Tacoma area was indeed a God shot, because I had enough sobriety and enough goodwill and enough smarts to know that Mom, when she was 96, probably needed some help at at 96. And Mom and I had a great relationship, and certainly, you know, a great idea that we exchanged about aging and death and dying, which I think a lot of people are not necessarily as attuned as we were to it. You know, so like at 96, I said, Mom, you know, how much longer are you going to last? And she was extraordinary. She was born in 1925. FDR was the only president she knew from the time she was born until she was 19. Because there was no term limit. So he had, I can't remember how many terms he had in a row, but from, you know, the only president you know till it, you essentially can vote. And then the guy died. So, of course, she wasn't voting for him. But what a great woman she was. And one day I was at the house in Faircrest, and Mom was getting pretty sick at that point. You know, pretty, not sick, but, you know, just old to a point where
she was getting there.
It was getting there. And so I had to go and put her on the toilet, which, you know, I always thought to myself, well, this is something that's demeaning. But, you know, between her and I, it wasn't. It was just one of those things that you do when, just like in sobriety, you learn, do the next indicated thing.
Exactly.
And the next indicated thing was just helping her in whatever way she needed help. She wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't embarrassed. So I put her on the toilet, and then I went out into the hallway, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and when she was done, you know, she would say, all right, I'm done. And nothing came. So I finally thought, oh my God, what happened? So I knocked on the door, and she said, yeah. And I said, are you done? And she said, how am I supposed to know? And I said, well, if not you, who? And we both had a hell of a laugh. You know, it's that sort of ability to show up for people and just do and find the love and the humor in the room. That and by the way, I did listen to your show recently, the one you did with what's his name? Chris.
Chris Farley.
Yeah, Chris Farley's brother. Tom Farley, was that his
Tom
name?
Tom Farley, yep.
Yeah. What a great show he did. What a great guest he was.
And that was another coincidence in recovery. I see this guy at a NADAC conference, which is a conference, a convention for drug and alcohol counselors. He was speaking, and the topic was the importance of humor in recovery.
Yeah.
And so I just started talking to him. I said, hey, here's my card. Would you be on my show? He said, absolutely. And that's the kind of people you meet in recovery. We and rarely, if ever, turn down.
No. You say yes. It's like improv. You just say yes and to everything that comes your way in life. Yep. I mean, that's one of the things that I learned, is that all of these disparate things that come at me from all different sides are applicable to my sobriety, whether it's, you know, what I learned in a driving course when I was 16, or what I learned in an improv class when I was, you know, in Los Angeles. One of the guys that I did improv with when, you know, we were both first starting out was Matthew Perry.
Wow.
Yeah. And I used to crack him up. And the funny thing is that I discovered that some of the little tics that I had or things that he brought with him along to friends, not that I, made his friends care. I'm not saying that at all. But you share things back and forth in an improv
Of
class
course.
that when the scene in the improv class would go sort of dull and people were grabbing at straws, I would, start at one end of the stage and flap my arms and go to the other and say, "I'm a duck." And it would just, it was just a complete non sequitur. But it used to crack him up a lot. So, it was such a shame to know that such talented people that I came up with, are still not alive because of this disease and because of the things that we go through, and particularly in Los Angeles, the people who are never told no,
That's right. But I will tell you, any chance I get when I do go back to Los Angeles, there is so much good recovery going on. And maybe there always was. I just wasn't ready for it. But every time I go back, I hit some of the greatest meetings, and I feel welcome going back and not having to hide in a corner making secret phone calls.
Didn't I send you and our friend Eric to Hollywood Squares?
Yes, that was a great meeting, by the way. Thank you. We took a subway to, they don't even call it a subway in LA. They call it something else.
I'm
But
not sure the line, the green line or purple line or
yeah,
something.
we found a way to make it to Hollywood Squares. I thought with a meeting with that name, we've got to go because it's going to be wacky, just like LA. And I got to tell you, we are almost out of time.
I can
But
see
Sean,
that.
what a great opportunity to have you share your recovery all the way from Colombia. Because of you, we are now international. But to hear
You were
you,
international before I was hearing you.
that is so awesome, my friend. You definitely made my day. And I would love to have you back again sometime in the very near future, because I know
Great, thanks for telling
you've got a lot of, yeah, you've got a lot of adventures in your life, just because all related to recovery and then some.
Being here in Colombia is a result of my sobriety. So for anyone out there, follow your dreams.
And
Recovery can lead you there.
the irony of having you from the cocaine capital of the world, clean and sober from Colombia. Thanks again, Sean. I love you.
Love you, Tom. Thanks again.
Folks, it's been a great show once again, and we are going to close out with inviting you to come back to us again next Tuesday at 1:30 every Tuesday for Adventures in Recovery on KVSH Vashon. Thanks again.